Immigration reform is our topic right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning guest, Bill Federer, a best-selling author and speaker. And Bill, it's great to have you on the program.
Jerry, great to be with you.
Okay, so here we are in early 2018, and the president and the Democrats in the House and the Senate are in somewhat loggerheads on the issue of immigration reform along these lines. Okay, he's saying, okay, no Dream Act, no wall, or no wall, no Dream Act. And they're saying, no, give us the Dream Act and forget about the wall, or we'll do the wall later. Just trust us on this. So what are your thoughts?
Well, from a perspective of history, yes, America is a country of immigrants. Even the Indians, it is speculated that they came across the Bering Strait somewhere prehistory. So everyone came here from somewhere else. And then we see during the colonial era, you had waves of Puritan immigrants and then Scots-Irish immigrants and then German Moravian immigrants. And even up to the time of the founding of the country, every immigrant was a net plus. What do I mean? There was no minimum wage. There was no free health care. There was no free Section 8 housing. The immigrants would come over, and anyone, you could go down to the port, and you could hire somebody for very little, and they would be happy to have a job where they could learn the English language and learn a skill. And they would live together in their small apartments or their houses, which would maintain family and cultural identity for them. And then they would pool their money. They would learn the business, learn the farm. And then eventually they would pool their money and buy a business and buy a farm, and they would go down to the dock and hire the next wave of immigrants.
You know what you're describing? It can be used in one word or summarized in one word, assimilation. These people wanted to come here, and yet we're seeing a situation where that's not always the case. So go on and finish your thought, and then I want to ask you about what do we mean by DACA or the Dreamer, the Dream Act? What does this mean?
So as these immigrants came over, every new wave pushed the previous wave up the economic ladder. And as they became more successful, they could go down and hire people. The welfare program was the family. So if an immigrant came over, what would they do? They would find some relative that was already over here, and they would give them the food and the clothes and the housing, and they would want to hurry up and get them to learn a skill. And so every new immigrant would help the economic system. Once you began to have the unions come in and have minimum wage, now you could not afford to hire somebody that was unskilled and didn't even speak the language. And so you would not be a benefit to them, and you're now having to pay more, and then all the goods you produce are more expensive. So the minimum wage closed that step of hiring people that have no skills or don't know the language. And then when you began to have these social programs, which used to all be done by the church, mm-hmm. God gives commands to four major entities, the individual, the family, the church, and the government. The government's job is simple: protect the innocent, judge the guilty. It's not the government's job to provide all the welfare stuff. That's the church's job. And the church has always taken care of the widows and the orphans, mm-hmm. and take up offerings for it. And it's called charity. And as long as that was the model, it all worked. And so the churches would go down and help the people and have the free food and free clothing and medical clinics and so forth. When the government began to do that, and then it became a burden for all the taxes, now every immigrant that comes over is a net minus. They're an immediate drain on the rest of society. And what happens is when they get the free food and the free clothes, and there's no motivation for them to want to upset the status quo. Why go out and work hard to get a job when you're taken care of just the way it is? And then you've got a whole cycle of new children being born into this. And then you begin to see beginning mostly with LBJ. A change. Prior to 1964, most of the immigrants into America came from Europe, mostly Germany, Ireland, and England, and then some from Italy and the other countries. What did they do? They followed the original model that I said. They had a work ethic, and they had Judeo-Christian morals, and it was considered a social stigma to not have a job and to take government handout. And so there was this motivation to want to work. LBJ noticed that as they came over and became successful, they would vote for candidates that would take away as little as possible from their hard-earned wealth. So they would vote for, in a lot of cases, Republicans. And LBJ noticed that immigrants from poorer countries had no problem, no social stigma taking a handout, and they tended, once you get free money, there's a strong motivation to want to continue that. And so it became a way to build the Democrat voter base. And if you look at the statistics, beginning with Teddy Kennedy and LBJ in 1964, 1965, the immigration from different nations immediately changed. And you began to have more immigrants from poorer countries. And sure enough, they would vote for the party that would give them the handouts. And it built the Democrat voter base. You had Eisenhower at one point wanted to cut off the immigration, but then it got loosened up again.
In the 50s.
And it keeps... In the 50s, but then it was a wetback program, the different ones. But then you began to see another nefarious thing of people coming over here with no intent to assimilate and to want to build communities. And under President Obama, we began to see lots of immigrants from Muslim countries being brought into Sioux Falls, South Dakota, being brought into Helena, Montana, being brought into Burlington, Vermont. And what would they do? They would take over the Section 8 housing complexes and turn them into little Muslim communities. And the ladies would wear the burqas, and they would actually push out the blacks. And so the immigrants pushed them out and the other minorities, and then they become the crime increases, and then people move out and property values go down. So more can take over. And it's this ironic thing, and Washington even warned of it when he was warning of the development of parties, not drinking parties, but political parties. And he says that the people advocating their party will sacrifice their country to advance their party. So it's this idea, the worse the inner city can get, the more people that earn wages move out, which in a lot of cases are Republicans, and the more that the crime increases, then more the poor people take over the neighborhoods. And what do? They vote Democrat. And so it's this irony where the worse it gets, the better it is to build the Democrat Party voter base. I hate to bring this up, but it's a pretty observable statistical fact that this is the trend that has taken place.
Okay. Well, by the way, Detroit, I think, summarizes to the extreme what you're talking about there in the last minute or so of what you were saying. But let's go back to my question about the DREAM Act. Can you explain what that means and what does DACA mean and what about this, you know, no wall, no DREAM Act?
Right. So it's one thing, a church having a benevolence ministry and you're giving out free stuff to help people that are genuinely poor. There's another group of people that want to milk the system. And that's the dilemma. And Saul Alinsky says the way that you defeat conservatives and Christians is you take advantage of their generosity so much so that you basically bankrupt them. Mm. And so it's this idea that the DACA, the DREAM Act, is if illegal immigrants came over and they have kids, then those kids should not be sent back to the country of their parents' origin. There's more to it, but that's a key part of it. And so you have generous people in America that says, okay, look, we'll swallow hard and we'll accept them and we'll work with them. But let's stop the inflow. And so I was reading Will and Ariel Durant, and they wrote A History of the World, and they talked about the fall of the Roman Empire. And they talked about how originally when China builds the Great Wall of China, the Huns begin to not attack into China. They turn west, and they attack other tribes, and it starts this displacement of people groups across Central Asia. They all begin migrating west, and they spill over the Roman borders. And so we're talking the 2nd century, 3rd century, 4th century. At first, they came slow, and they would assimilate and learn the Latin language and learn jobs and get involved even in the military and so forth, and people would hire them. And then they came so fast that they didn't bother learning the Roman Latin language. And they kept their own German and French and Anglo and different languages, and they kept their own communities. And before you know it, it broke up the unity of the Roman Empire, and eventually Rome collapsed. And so Will and Ariel Durant says, if Rome would have funneled these immigrants through their schools rather than their slums, if they would have time to time shut off the immigration to give a chance for the people to assimilate, Rome could have had 1,000 new additions to their culture with all these new cultures coming in, and they could have preserved this civilization that had been around 1,000 years. I make it really simple.
Yeah, but by the way, do you agree with that? Do you agree with Will and Ariel Durant? In other words, it was too fast, too soon. But really, in a very real sense, what you're saying is you view what's happening now, the conflict between, let's say, the Republicans and the Democrats, it's a ploy, in your opinion, on the part of the Democrats to just basically get more voters who are just going to vote Democrat. It's a purely partisan thing. And by the way, there was a leaked memo that kind of confirms what you're implying here.
I do believe that. I ran for Congress 3 times. I had a chance to see how the inside workings of it all goes. And they have maps of every single community. They draw lines around different neighborhoods. They say, you know, how can we get this neighborhood to flip from Republican to Democrat or so forth? They'll go street by street, house by house, identifying every single person, how they vote.
So it's all about power. So it's all about power. It's not about helping people. It's all about political power. What if they say, well, it's all about political power so we can help the people?
Right. Well, there are those, even Booker T. Washington made a comment on it. There are those that want the poor to stay poor so they can always champion the condition of the poor. And they'll always get the poor's vote. So in other words, they really don't want to help them. They want to build their voter base, and they don't want them to climb out of poverty. When it used to be the first model that I explained, where churches helped the poor,
right?
The people would eventually get out because the church would teach them the different Bible stories that here's the unjust steward. He got his talent and buried it, but this other guy multiplied and earned 10 more. And Jesus said, this is the good servant. Give him, you know, more. And so you're taught these gospel principles, and you would be successful eventually. And then you would do what? You would donate money back to the church that helped you out.
Right.
And now I wanted to get to something.
Okay, we have about a minute to wrap up. But go ahead and say what needs to be said about immigration. And obviously, you do believe that a border wall must be, and at least stop the bleeding, as you said earlier. But go ahead and summarize in a minute, okay? Go ahead.
How much food do you eat in a year? Imagine if I were to force you to eat that in one day.
Oof.
You would die.
Yeah.
You only eat the food as fast as your body can assimilate it.
Right.
So you need food, you want food, but you want it in an orderly fashion so that it can become part of your body. So you want immigrants, you need immigrants, but you only want them to come in as fast as they can assimilate.
Right.
And people are happy to have, they want people to come in and assimilate, but when you bring them in too fast, it's the same as the fall of the Roman Empire. It's going to keep their own identity, their own language, their own, but then you actually bring in those that have a goal to destroy it, and that's the Islamic threat, where they feel it's their goal to bring the whole world into submission to Allah, and it's okay to lie to infidels.
Wow.
Muhammad was an immigrant into the Jewish city of Medina, and then he organizes a following amongst people who have grievances against the government, and then he eventually takes this following, and he overthrows the Jewish government, and he makes Medina into a Muslim country.
And then he beheaded a lot of Jews in the process. We're basically out of time, so thank you, though, for joining us. Let me refer people to your website, AmericanMinute.com. Bill, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, God bless you now, and we'll pray for this country for wisdom ahead. Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.